loud buzzing. Stop and go back in.
Helps her not throw it off, just to make sure it's not appearing on your end.
I'm not hearing. Okay. Hot mouth.
Testing.
You're okay.
So we've been working down the ranking list. Priority was initially given to individuals who are 30% below 30% of the median area income. Then priority was given to those homeowners that are below 50% of the area median income. As part of your grant application, you're required to do two of each of those homes, which you fulfilled that requirement as well. Now that we've kind of reached the end of the funding, we're trying to identify one more homeowner that we might be able to assist with the funds that were available. Unfortunately, the number eight ranking, Ms. Holden, her home requires demolition and replacement of the home. And with the number of people that live there, we would be required to construct a four-bedroom home for her, and we just don't have the funds available for that. So what we're asking the commission to do tonight is to waive the ranking for her and allow us to move down to the next unfunded homeowner, which would be Mr. Young, who's ranked number 11. At completion, that would give you a total of 10 homes that you've assisted through the program. If you have any questions for me, I'd be happy to answer them.
Is it because of his income? Mr. Young, that you skipped down to him?
He was the next highest based upon the points that are in the housing assistance plan.
Why is it that we have to do a four-bedroom home? I mean, is there not?
She has six people that live there. Due to overcrowding, they won't allow you to build a home that's too small for the number of people that live there. That's a minimum of a four-bedroom home for six persons.
Are they adults or?
I think they're children.
Children
as well.
Seems kind of hard to take it away from somebody that needs it. I mean, well, I'm not saying that the others don't need it, but somebody that was approved.
Yeah, really the issue is that we just don't have adequate funding. We had to do at least nine, so we focused on that to begin with, and we realized we could do 10, but we just don't have enough to do that 10th home. For her.
And in Mr. Young's, how many people?
I don't have those numbers in front of me.
It's three.
There's three.
And so is it going to be replaced with another mobile home?
No, I believe we've been doing all stick-built homes, site-built homes for those, replacing mobile homes with those.
You mean block? No.
Wood frame.
Wood frame.
And it's on the ground level.
Yes.
Anybody have any more questions at this point? I guess that's your recommendation to go ahead and drop down to the next available person and go ahead and use the money and get somebody else.
We want to use up all of the funds, and it's either move down to the next person or not do any homes at all. The town will be eligible once we close this out. There'll be another grant cycle in the spring. You can submit for another housing rehabilitation grant. I've also been sending, there's a USDA Rural Housing Preservation Program. That's not a program that the town would apply for, but it provides small repair grants to homeowners, and I've been sending that to any of the homeowners that we haven't been able to assist, where they have to contact USDA directly and work with them. It's not something that the town's involved in, but we are trying to do that to just to assist any homeowners.
Okay.
I have one more question, please. So in the spring, the other grant that comes up, we'll still have the points and everything to be able to get a grant to cover it, or maybe?
You'll be a little bit lower. When we apply for this grant, you have what's called grant history points, because you hadn't received a grant the previous 5 years, so you will not get those. community-wide needs score, because you received a grant, will also come down. The new census numbers, the projection is will come out in 2012, and they should have, they'll recalculate what's called your community-wide needs score. So you may see your score go up. If not this year, the following year, we would expect that to impact you. And we can do like we've done with these other grants. We'll, once we close this out, we'll continue to come each year. If you have infrastructure needs, that'll be the main decision you'll have to make when we do the public hearings. The next application is whether you want to apply for an infrastructure grant or continue to apply for housing grants.
Thank you. If her status doesn't change, will she be in some of the top numbers next time?
Well, they require that she reapply. But she, based upon the information we have, she would be, yes.
Or we don't really have much say in it. It's just, it's either we decide to go with the next one down, or we just lose that.
Lose the money.
Yes, sir. Just because you have your adopted path plan that we have to follow, I'm required to come and get your authorization to waive that requirement.
Well, I don't think we want to turn down funds if we can.
No.
Would someone care to make a motion?
I'll make a motion that we move to Isaac Young because of the challenges with Alberta Holden.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
I'll second that motion.
Okay. Any discussion from the floor? Anything further from the board? All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried.
Thank you. And just on that sheet I gave you there, it's got those homes that we've completed. The far right column that says NTP indicates that a notice to proceed has been issued on those contracts. So we're progressing fairly rapidly on this. We'll want to be closed out for 2012.
Great.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you,
Scott.
Thanks, Scott.
Next item is Mr. Fugate. Do you have any comments?
I do not have any particular comments unless you have any questions of me.
Okay. Anybody have anything at this point, or should we go ahead and continue? The next one is under ordinances. Sally, do you want to do a Fugate? You want to cover that?
Bruce Nyinger for this. Okay. This is ordinance number 07-11, which is an ordinance amending the Town of Inglis land development regulations, amending the text of Article 4 zoning of the Land Development Code to revise Section 34-278, continuance of a non-conforming use or structure, and Section 34-279, discontinuance of a non-conforming use, providing severability and establishing an effective date. I believe you considered this and adopted it at first reading a couple of meetings ago, or maybe the last meeting.
Yes.
And this is now being presented again. I would defer to Mr. Day's conversation at the last meeting as far as what's actually being done by this.
Okay. Are there any questions? Someone here to make a motion?
Make a motion that we adopt ordinance number 07-11.
I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor of the motion?
This does require public hearing, so
I'm sorry.
I'm sure that you don't have anybody from the public wants to comment.
Any comments from the floor? Well, if there are no comments, we'll go ahead and proceed with the vote. We have a motion and a second. All in favor of the please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. The next item is an agreement for professional services between the Town of Inglis and WRPC. I think the only question I'd have is that similar to everything that we've signed before? Is it, had an opportunity to review it?
Yeah, this is their standard, contract, that everything's the same, except for they probably changed the, per hour dollar amounts that are at the very end of the contract. They usually sometimes go up, sometimes go down.
Has the planning commission taken a look at the, to get a look at the contract? You, pretty much, okay. Any questions? Now, would someone care to make a motion?
I make a motion that we accept the agreement for professional services between the Town of Inglis and the Withlacoochee Regional Planning Council.
We have a motion, care, make a second. We have a second. One last time, any questions, comments? All in favor of the motion to accept the contract, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion carried. Go ahead, we have the, next item will be department heads. Public Works, Dan, do you have anything for us? About, Chief Dixon?
I have nothing else than statistics in case you want to answer the question, but I have nothing.
Okay, did Mr. Cordes stay, see?
He had to go to work, oh, he's still here.
Okay, good.
Evening, everyone.
Evening.
So stats for, fire department was 23 calls in September. We had 252 calls for the year, which is the most calls Inglis has ever had for the fire department, so it was the busiest year ever. Last month, you guys approved the new pony pump for the brush truck. It went in today to get the pump, it came in. So they're installing it right now, and I was telling the mayor, I met a guy from forestry that is doing, they're doing a 50-50 grant. Once you pay for an item, they look at your grant, and then they possibly reimburse you half of the cost. And he said, we are a good candidate because the pump got so much use it's there with brush fires. And he said, get him the grant right away, and it looks like we would probably get at least half of the 56 something back.
Wow.
So that would probably work out good. Last month, we had five of us that went up to the Florida State Fire College, and we took about eight courses, got about 70 hours of free training through the state. So we went up there for about 4 days. The only downfall of that one, some of you might not know, but car got broken into, and we lost some gear on that trip. So our deductible is fairly high with the insurance, so it's not even a claim type item. We lost about 4,500 in gear, and the deductible is about 5,000. So unfortunately, they didn't find anything, sheriff or anything up there, so they're still investigating. Left the car unattended for about a half hour, came back down, and the window was smashed out.
Was none of that gear initial with any, I mean, none of our...
No, it's just got a, manufacturer's date and stuff inside of it, but there's no, you know, just the company name, the year they made it. They can't, nobody can do anything with it, so I don't even know who would do. And, that was about it, so we get...
Sally, is there... I just wanted to ask Sally a question. Is there anything that we need to do about this repair?
Well, the repair has already been handled. That was part of the capital outlay in the budget process. But if the commission could give their consensus as far as the grant is concerned, because the mayor is the only one that has authorization to sign...
Sign a grant request.
...the grant, and any grants need to come before the commission for approval prior to them applying. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's something we're paying for. It's just... After it's paid for, that's where they do the 50-50 grant.
We need a motion to allow that to be done, or is it just to get a consensus to proceed?
Is that grant like all other grants? I mean, do we know anything about the grant? Is it something that, where it says we can't get rid of the fire truck now?
Oh, no.
Can't do anything, or?
They do it on all their, if you bought a bunch of forestry rakes and hoses, it's just them kind of, they have so much money to give back to no information to her. Keeping the pump or, you know, doing whatever with the pump.
We could ask the chief to supply a copy to town hall.
Yeah, once I'm, yep. So I got it all written out, just waiting for the final receipt, because they need the receipt to show you paid for it before they consider reimbursing the funds.
Okay. Any other questions of the chief?
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Need approval.
It was just a consensus.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Buddy.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Is that okay with the party?
Yeah, we all are.
I assumed it was. Okay, the next item is the consent agenda. Someone care to make a motion?
I move we accept the consent agenda with the regular meeting, 8-9-11, 9-13-11, the budget workshop, 9-8-11, first public hearings, 9-15-11, and the final public budget hearing, 9-22-11.
Have a motion, do we have a second?
Second.
Does that include the financial statements?
Oh, yeah, we did have a financial statement.
You can add it to it. It's all under consent agenda.
And the general, or the August statements.
The August statement, include the two together.
And then my second to agree to that.
All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion carried.
Commissioner Kim, Mr. DeMonk is here now.
Okay. Well, it's a good place to ask Mr. DeMonk to start. Do you want to go ahead and introduce?
I see that Commissioner DeMonk, Dennis, had walked in.
Yes.
We are ready for you if you're ready. I know you just come in, but if you need a minute, we can carry on something else. If not,
we apologize to you for coming first. We apologize for being a little bit late, but we just got through with our session down in Citrus County. We meet the same day that you did, and as the chairman, of course, I have to sign all the documents, so I just got through it. Got on my horse and headed up to Citrus County. I would like to go ahead and give a copy of tonight's presentation to the clerk, if that's okay.
Great, fine.
I'm just laying right out, sure as the clerk.
No.
Good thing you did.
Let me start off by saying thank you very much for having us here this evening, and we appreciate the opportunity to speak with you this evening. It's always nice to visit with old friends and meet new people. My name is Dennis DeMonk. I am the District 1 Citrus County Commissioner, which encompasses Northwest Citrus County. I'm currently the Chairman of the Board of the Citrus County Board of Commissioners. I am also Chairman of the Citrus County Port Authority. And the reason for that is the Board of County Commissioners is the Port Authority in Citrus County, the way we're structured. So I'd like to share with you some of my most recent thoughts on Port Citrus, which is of course located on the Barge Canal. I will also share with you some of my thoughts of mutual interest concerning central water and sewer issues. I will then have my administrator, Brad Dorf, speak with you about the port and the upcoming feasibility study. And Brad is the port director. And our county attorney, Mr. Richard Rush, is not here this evening. He is the county attorney and he has the port legal counsel. So we're in the infancy with the organization. So what I would like to do is give you a little presentation tonight, and I have some other good issues to talk with you about. Let's get started. Okay, the establishment of Port Citrus affords the County Commission a unique opportunity to take a long view at the future of Northwest Citrus County. As I have said before, the area contains many existing and underutilized public works projects. Port Citrus allows us a chance to turn those unique physical assets into sustainable economic opportunities, jobs, tax base, and increased public infrastructure. The port feasibility study, along with its standard maritime operations, should address the strong points of the area, and most important, what can be reasonably supported and sustained within the immediate surrounding area. With these statements in mind, I would like to share with you some of the many items that might fit into Port Citrus.
one of the main issues is water. Provision of a new central water supply system for Port Citrus, possibly South Indian County. Sewer. Provision of a new central sewer system along with reuse capacity for Port Citrus and also with our neighbors in South Indian County. Electric generation. Along with the nearby existing Progress Energy facilities, hydropower and alternative energy facilities are possibilities. Proximity of Port Citrus to Progress Energy's proposed Levy County two-unit nuclear plant complex will require delivery of construction materials and large component assemblies by water. Railroad. Railroad is an issue. The extension of the existing track is an important asset in the development of Port Citrus. Airport. Proximity of our general aviation airport, Crystal River, is another existing physical asset for the proposed port. Roads and ground transportation are also vitally important to the area. Four-lane U.S. Highway 19 has been resurfaced. Two new modern bridges over the barge canal have been recently completed. And the level of service on U.S. Highway 19 and other area roadways is more than adequate. Port Citrus is close to the northern terminus of the proposed Suncoast Parkway extension. A successful port would add vitality to this highway project. The locks. Future of the existing barge canal, spillway in the dam at Lake Rousseau, will all factor into the port's feasibility and should be addressed. Trailway. Very big recreational issue for both sides. For both of our counties and both and your municipalities. The existing 5 mile long paved recreational trail, starting just east of US Highway 19 and extending westward to the Gulf of Mexico, should be extended eastward, all the way to the Withlacoochee Strait Trail to provide connectivity. A further recreational element along that trail to the existing locks could be the installation of roof-covered fishing piers similar to the ones on the west side of the barge canal bridges. These recreational enhancements should be investigated at the state level and viewed as a boost to local ecotourism activities. Port activities, coal, petroleum products, limestone, cement products, steel, gypsum wallboard, and wood products and other bulk freight and containerized freight might form the key product shipped into and out from the port, along with supporting warehousing and distribution facilities. Manufacturing. Component assembly, marine-based industries, and wood products are just a few of the many items that could be potentially located at Port Citrus. Port Citrus could also be the home of these components. Commercial fishing, seafood processing, and cold storage. Boat ramps and dockage providing deep water access unobstructed to the Gulf of Mexico for recreational users, relieving congestion on local waterways. Full service wet and dry marina with dockage, fueling, and repair facilities could also be envisioned at the port. Lodging, restaurant, and retail opportunities with activities similar to John's Pass in Pinellas County and Channel Side of Tampa. It could be a component of Port Citrus. Workforce housing on site could be a component. Educational opportunities with the possible relocation of the Environmental Academy to Port Citrus. That's a Citrus County school. The U.S. Coast Guard has possible relocation opportunities of the existing station from Yankeetown to a deep water berth on the barge canal at Port Citrus, because we have the depth of the Withlacoochee River leading from where they does not have a straight shot to the Gulf of Mexico. Casino bar operations at the existing Sun Cruise dockage and paved parking lots. That's there. That's part of a DRI that's sitting there at the moment. Tour boat and dinner cruise boat ventures. So as you can see, there are many, many things that could be potentially located there. These will all come out in the feasibility study. And as a District 1 Commissioner and as a 40-year resident, I know Northwest Citrus County very well. My desire is to provide our board, staff, citizens, people like yourself, and future consultants an overview of the possibilities as we move forward to develop Port Citrus on the uniqueness of this part of Citrus County and the surrounding areas. That was a presentation that I gave to the Board of County Commissioners. We have copies of that that we will give you tonight to the people in attendance, at the board level here, to people in attendance. So we're going to go ahead and do that too. But let's talk a little bit about utilities in conjunction with Fort Citrus. Natural gas and electric are readily available from existing sources for the proposed port. As the port heads towards reality, Citrus County Board of Commissioners will have to provide central water to the northwest border of Citrus County. In addition to water, the port will require a central sanitary sewer system. This would be accomplished by running a force main through northwest Citrus County, probably adjacent to U.S. Highway 19, connected to our Meadowcrest plant, which produces reclaimed water. That's not a pipe dream. That could be close to reality. And the reason of that is we have those facilities right at 495 in Tokyo. It's a short shot right over to 19, and right up North Highway 19, we could pick up a hospital, we could pick up Progress Energy on the sewer side, we could pick up the port, we could pick up the campground, we could run facilities to you. And that also goes on the water side, because at part of that county, as you know, there have been problems with the groundwater. We have a lot of arsenic in the water there, and that's documented through the DEP. The main thing to remember that along this route, there'll be many connection opportunities for people to connect, just like I have mentioned. There could also be partnerships with English, Yankee Town, and South Levy County. Funding for these projects would be through a combination of state and federal grants, state revolving loans, expansion and connection fees, and public-private partnerships. One thing I want to go ahead and finish up with this is vitally important to me, and it should be to you too. And I would like you to go ahead and consider joining the Rithlicoochee Regional Water Supply Authority. And the reason for that is very simple. Along with the proposed port utility requirements, the authority has a 30-year approved water master plan that affects Southern Levy County. Conservation strategies, regional water supply, alternative water supply sources from Lake Russo, and a desal plant at Progress Energy site are all in part of this 30-year master plan. These items all have a potential future effect on Levy County and you. And what I mean by you is the towns of Inglis, the town of Yankeetown, and Levy County Board of Commissioners needs to be involved in that process. As the Water Authority Vice Chairman, I would extend to you an invitation to attend one of our upcoming meetings. The Authority's Director, Mr. Jack Sullivan, is also available to make a PowerPoint presentation about the Water Supply Authority to interested officials and the public right here in Levy County. So what we wanted to do was tell you folks about where we are with the port, what the opportunities are there for Northern Citrus and possibly Southern Levy County with the port, and also very and bring you up to speed on there are potential partnerships on the sewer and water side. And most importantly, I've been attending those meetings for 7 years after the water supply. I served as the chairman in 2009. I'm currently the vice chairman. I'll probably be the chairman of the water supply coming up in 2012. You need to know what's going on right on the cusp of where you're at. And I want to reach out to all of you in this county, to its both towns, and to the Board of County Commissioners, and reach out to you, tell you we're there for you, we'll do whatever we can to help you. We'd like to build a bridge from Citrus County into Levy County. Thank you very much. This time I'd go ahead, like to go ahead and have our administrator, Mr. Port Director, Brad Tucker, speak with you this evening. After that, if you have any questions, we will try and do our best.
Well, thank you for inviting me here. It's an honor to talk to you all about Port Citrus. As you know, that I am the port director, and we're kind of subbing as both the administrator and port director because we're in our infancy of development. And typically, this is the way the ports get started throughout the state of Florida. Just a little background on how we existed. The Port Authority was developed back in the 80s by a special act of the legislature. So the Board of County Commissioners currently sit as the Port Authority. And that's not unusual around the state of Florida. Other counties have county commissioners that sit as the Port Authority. Fort Manatee is one of them. Port Citrus was developed from an act of the legislature last year where State Statute 311-08 included Fort Citrus as the 15th port. There are currently 14 ports in the state of Florida. Of course, they run the rim on the coast. Some of the biggest ones, of course, are Fort Manatee, Fort Everglades, Fort Lauderdale, Fort Tampa. All those ports are big. We are part of that 15-port membership. Those ports, now through the act of the legislature, are defined in the FSTEP, which is the Florida Seaport and Transportation Commission. This is an arm of the Florida Department of Transportation, and we meet on a regular basis, all port directors. And this is an arm of FDOT. They get annual funding from the legislature of $15 million a year to support port activities. And they also do their own financing and bonding. And some of these large ports are doing bond issues to do port development in each of the ports. And the money this year just for the port bond refinancing was $29 million. Now that sounds like a lot of money, but these ports are gigantic. Some of the ports south of here, for instance, the Port of Everglades, their annual budget from the Port Authority is $143 million a year. And the way they develop this money is from tariffs and fees derived from port passengers and from cargo and freight that are exiting and entering these ports. So all of the ports authorities are basically entities, private entities that are a division of government, but they support their own funds from the services and goods that are running through the port. So we are the 15th port in the state of Florida. And because of that, we sit at the port's FSTAT meetings, and we're supported by the Florida Ports Council. That's a private support group that has a membership fee, and that group is in Tallahassee, and they provide the administrative support for the FSTAT Council. Our first mission, according to the statute, is to develop a feasibility study to determine whether we're a viable port and whether we can exist. So as part of that, we were allocated $50,000 from FSTAT this year as a match. We have to do a local match of another $50,000 to pay for a feasibility study to determine whether Fort Citrus is viable or not. So we're in the process right now of allocating those funds from the FSTAT and from local match to do a feasibility study on Fort Citrus. That feasibility study probably will be put on the street in January sometime. We'll rank the firms to do that, and we'll negotiate with the number one ranked firm, and this will be done by the Port Authority. And they'll do things such as a market analysis, determining what infrastructure is available there, what kind of cargo that could be used, whether it's economically viable, what kind of connections there are to the port, like rail, highway, seaway, depth of the port, width of the port. All of that will be discussed in the feasibility study, and that study will be the blueprint for what could happen at the port. Now, the port study at the barge canal includes the acreage to the north and the acreage to the south. That land, both north and south, are some of it's public, but a lot of it's privately owned. And so that study will include those lands as to whether they are viable part of this port, and they will make a determination where the best spots to be. The barge canal was dug back in the 60s, and it was deauthorized by Congress in 1972. It cost around $74 million at the time to build what they've built so far. About a third of it was completed before it was shut down. The Board of County Commissioners feel like it's an asset that's existing that taxpayers already paid for that's being underutilized. And so what distinguishes us in this area from anybody else that's trying to create jobs or growth or try to diversify the economy? And the feeling is Fort Citrus is unique. Not many counties have a direct connection to the Gulf of Mexico and have a available port. So it's an asset that the board feels like we need to try to figure out whether we can utilize it or not. And that's the reason for the development of Fort Citrus. It's all about creating jobs. You all know that the building industry is basically never going to be the way it used to be. And a lot of the jobs in Citrus County relied on the building industry, and those are gone forever. So if we want to come up with some other method to provide jobs for our citizens, Fort Citrus seems like a viable approach.
There's been a lot of discussion about the post-Panamax ships that are coming through the Panama Canal. The Panama Canal is going to be widened to allow large post-Panamax ships to come through, which is going to increase cargo in the Gulf region by many, many times over what currently exists today. All the ports are trying to align themselves to benefit from this increased cargo. And we realize where we are right now, we have a niche to fill. The port is relatively shallow, it's 15 feet maximum depth, so we know it's going to probably be a barge canal. You're not going to get a post-Panamax ship or a cruise ship to come in there. That's not going to be possible. But there are niche markets that the port can provide, and it could become a port that would use a hub port like Manatee to ship goods and services overseas, and that's what Manatee is all about. The board recently came back from Port Manatee. We did a tour of their facility. They're part of our FSTAT group. They are thrilled that we're part of their team, and they would welcome any type of activity, commerce between our two ports, and that's the kind of synergy we're looking at to make this port successful. So, the reason I'm here on behalf of the board, we want to let you know you're in close proximity to this. Hopefully, you will be part of this process, and if we are successful, it will help your community as well as ours. And we would hope that residents of Levy County would work there in the future and have jobs just like Citrus County residents. And we think it would be good for you to join with us and work with us. I'll make one other comment. Marin County is looking at an inland port at I-75 and 27. And we are going to try to work with them and connect to that and be part of their inland port at that site. And so I think there's a natural reason for us to work together as a team, and I'm available anytime you need. So I do have a very detailed PowerPoint presentation that has all of this on photographs and visual representations of all the infrastructure, and if you feel like you'd like to spend some more time with us, I'll be more than happy to bring the roadshow here and show you all the details and try to get you a little bit more involved in what's going on in Fort Citrus. So with that, I think I'm done, and thank you very much. If you'd like to ask me any questions, I'll do my best.
Mr. Chairman, would like to.
Go ahead, please.
Sir, is Mr. Hollingswood going to sell some or lease land?
Good question. The port has to be a public entity to receive public dollars. So if that was to occur, we would have to develop a lease agreement to make it a public port. Mr. Hollins could own property around the outside of that, but if there's public funds spent on a public port, it has to be a public entity. So typically what the arrangements are, there's lease agreements between the port developer, the property owner, and the port authority. And the way everybody gets paid back for their investments is the port developer gets the majority of the tariff that comes in and out of that port. The port authority gets a little bit of a cut to support the administration, and the property owner gets paid for a percentage of whatever that land is that is public. So that is a good question, yes. That's typically how it's done.
Okay, now will he get to keep his oil and mineral rights too?
I haven't gotten into that far, and I can't answer that question.
Okay, so now once this is supposedly ends up being Port Citrus.
Yes.
Then that whole canal is Port Citrus forever, right?
Well, and I'm not going to get into too much of the details because I'll bring the PowerPoint slide. The center of the canal from south is owned by the state, and it's part of the trail.
Okay.
The other part that's owned in the Hollingswood property is owned to the center by the private property owner. So there is a portion of that that's owned by a private property owner to the center of the canal. The rest of it out to the Gulf is owned by the state. So, but the waters are available as navigable waters, so they can be used by anybody right now. And you bring up a good point. Currently, there are large boulders that are being shipped to Manatee right now from the mine that's there, and they're using these as a reef for a mitigation project off of Manatee Coast. They're doing a reef project there, and there's tugboats and barges that are currently going down to Manatee right now from that site.
Okay, I'm not really good at all this,
that's
so that's
okay.
Why I'm asking you these questions now.
I will.
But, so, in the end, you would have to use the whole waterway, though, for your project, for the port, right? whoever owns it, whoever has the rights to it.
True, but it is available to the public in general. So in other words, if a barge was to go up and down that canal, it would, they're using it right now. Barges are currently going up and down the canal.
But so, once you get to port, would there be tariffs on that then?
No. The tariffs would be from the loading and offloading of the goods and materials that are on the public portion of the port.
Okay.
So like Port Manatee, has, they do containers, they also do offloading of bulk. They have agreements with the freight that comes in out of there. They have an arrangement with a port director or the port developer for a percentage of what the goods and services are. And so all the ports report the amount of tonnage that they ship every year by tons and by dollar amount. Every time you go on a cruise ship in one of these ports on the East Coast, those passengers are paying a little bit to the Port Authority. When you park your car at Port Canaveral, the parking ticket's from the Port Authority. So that's where, now there's a lot of other things involved in that because they have the overhead of running that port.
But it's strictly those stays on your side. The funds and the monies that come in go through then your county, right?
To the Port Authority, not to the Board of County Commissioners. It doesn't go to the general fund. They're their own businesses. So they have to, their profit and loss is derived in the fees that are coming through the port. It doesn't involve the Board of County Commissioners and the general fund.
Okay, thank you so much.
Can you break down those funds again? Because you talk faster than I write. You said like the port developer, the port...
Yeah, the three entities in this arrangement. Again, the feasibility study will get more into details, but the three entities in this would be the landowner, there'd be a lease, there'd be tariffs of goods and services, which would be going to the port developer. And then the Port Authority would get a portion of that.
Thank you.
So that would be, and the percentages are up for negotiation depending on the amount of the investment. If you're a port developer, you're going to want a return on the investment of all the infrastructure you've got to put in. So they're going to want to get a good size of that tariff as it goes through the port. Now the reason the public portion of this is important because the state is funding some of this, some of these infrastructure projects with state grants. And so some like Port Jacksonville, Port Miami, they're getting funding from FSTAT to do some of the work inside those ports. And so that would be an advantage of being a public port.
I had one more question, I'm sorry. You just brought it to my mind. So the county commissioner so would have to have some input on it if another county like us beside it, Levy, wants to get involved and do structures of water or sewer, all that. Somehow you're going to have to work together with both counties, but it'd be on our county level, right?
Well, the Port Authority is, I know it's a little confusing, it's the same entity. So the Port Authority has the right to work with other agencies, and I can be here on behalf of the Port Authority to do that. But they're the same people. But that's not unusual. Like I said, Port Manatee's the same one. Now, the only difference is Port Manatee's been there for 40 years plus, and they've got their own infrastructure. So they have a port director, full-time staff. They are running this as a business entity, and we're not right now because we don't have any funding to pay for anybody to do that.
I ask a question. Have you set any tentative timetable, like for your feasibility study?
We would like to get the feasibility study on the street in January, and I would assume it would probably take 2 or 3 months, maybe two, to select the firms, and we will rank them probably and through the Port Authority. They will make public presentations, and the Port Authority would rank the firms. It's an RFQ process, request for qualifications. The number one ranked firm would then negotiate with the Port Authority to do the study.
Okay.
The legislation says this has to occur by 2014. So we've got a time frame of roughly
a couple of years to get this done. For the study.
Yes. So we're working on it right now. And the funds, the $50,000 has already been allocated by FSTAT. It's in the budget for this year.
Mm-hmm.
So we're making
it. Anybody else have any questions? Anybody from the floor? Don't mind. Go ahead, Mr. Streeter.
it's, what would be, my own personal interest here would be the sewer connection. What would be the best way for us to approach that for the future potential of hooking up with the sewer if it were to come up? We've got probably a number of answers to that, but I'll let the chairman.
One of them would be simple, like we're reaching out to three entities tonight, which is developed towns and that. Would you basically, through, I would say, an interlocal agreement?
Yes.
That would be the process that would be done. And let's just say the line was there, we in reality were selling bulk water from a plant.
We do interlocal agreements, and we can do that.
With your staff, develop a successful interlocal agreement.
Okay, I guess my other question would be, if you bring the sewer line up to the barge canal or closest to the river, for the park, for the RV park, would we then work with Citrus County to try and get joint grants to connect the sewer?
Let me address that. That may be one of the strongest points of a partnership, and the reason for that is the fact that you may qualify for grants here at a town level, at a county level, if you don't. You may qualify for a DEP small cities disadvantaged grant. You may qualify for things that we don't qualify for. So that could be one of the strong points of some type of a partnership, even at an investigative level, at the very beginning of the process.
Yeah, we are a rural
correct.
In this business, you know as well, I'm sure you do, once you start running lines, things seem to happen, people start connecting that need to, and like the chairman had said, you have hospital along that route, you've got a campground, a lot of people, it makes economic sense to hook up to a system that can run a package plant that is sometimes difficult to work with, so, and or if the water's bad, like if they have no choice and they've got water, it's a reason for them to try to put the water.
Keep in mind, the Board of County Commissioners has a major investment in the Meadowcrest Sewer Plant. The Meadowcrest Sewer Plant is designed for 2 million gallons a day. And we're only doing that much of 2 million gallons a day, so we've got potential to expand it throughout the county in this way for 20 to 25 years. The beauty part of that plant is that plant through swift mud funds produces reclaimed water. That reclaimed water is shipped down County Road 486 to Black Diamond Ranch, where it is sold as a commodity to the country club and used to irrigate the golf courses, which that goes ahead and saves a pump of oil water from the aquifer. So we have it up to speed all the way through reclaimed facilities. We've got great big plants sitting there, got congee that's down, and of course, just like anybody else, if you have that plant, you need to be looking for partners and people that are about to, because they're out there. They're out there. So that would be one of the main reasons why we would do that. Plus, on our launch set today, correct? We're bringing more water out to Black Diamond because that was the perfect place. It was in close proximity to the plant. They have two big lakes out there, even though it's inland, that we can ship the water to, and they can take it from there and put it through their sprinkler system. So it was a good partnership with them. It was so good that Swift Flood went ahead and funded upgrading that plant to tertiary treatment, which is real good. That's the way it should be done.
Is the Meadowcrest facility, is that secondary or tertiary?
Tertiary. Produces reclaimed water about 92% pure. A little bit of nitrate.
Did you see that purple pipe? That's reclaimed water. That big pipe on 46, that's going up. My concern was, my experience with Phelps County got in serious trouble back in the 80s because we didn't have enough tertiary treatment. So if we bring too many people in, and our concern, we would want to hook up to a system where, 2 or 5 years down the pipe, we're going to wind up in a situation we hook up to a system that's got huge problems. So you're already at the tertiary treatment.
Well, tertiary treatment, like I said, 2 million gallons a day, I bet we're not doing 500,000 gallons. And then keep in mind, that way also, at the proper time, my Citrus County could be up. So we saw the gas up there.
Go ahead, Mr. Burris.
I want to know, are you planning to deepen the barge canal at any place?
We are talking about this as we will utilize what's currently there, and there are no plans to deepen the barge.
Progress Energy does have plans to deepen it, and they may not be able to do it. We want to dig 5 feet deeper, extend their cooling water line, and there is a... So when the feds had it, they gave it to Florida with the underside stopped to 12 feet.
Right.
And so I don't believe they can deepen it, but they may try, because this new bunch doesn't know what went on.
No, we're planning on 15 feet maximum depth, and that's it. That's what it was set.
It's not 15, it's 12.
I guess on the other, the one question I have, how would it be best, I'm sure that there's going to be a lot of interest in, you know, discussing different aspects with you folks. How do we best go about doing that, or have access to information if somebody has a question or a time meeting or whatnot?
What I would suggest you do is that I contact whoever you designate to contact my staff. We can put you on the mailing list. We're going to have a port website. We will be wherever you want us to be at any time, and I would suggest we just keep this relationship going as we grow. So before I leave here, I'll give you my
question. Well, Mrs. McCraney would be the one for
we'll put you on
contact.
The mailing list.
That'd
we'll
be great.
Make sure that we get you connected to us. We need you as a partner.
We appreciate that.
We appreciate you having us here.
Okay. Any last questions? Go ahead. Maybe you at well.
And I think it's great that you're here to discuss your project. I'd like to see how maybe we could work together, if we could somehow come together as two groups and see how it could benefit both of us, and you know, any concerns that we may have, I'm sure that we could address those.
Would you invite us over to your commission?
Can
we help do a presentation?
Yeah. Oh, you're awesome.
We would love that presentation. Waiting for the we've been growing, and we didn't have all the information until we got to this stage, and now it's time to go ahead and start going out and out these
places. How can this day and age switch work in the
functional fashion?
We'd love to. Well,
we'll leave cards, and we'd love to come to a presentation. I'm getting a little better every time, and I saw Josh back there saying it's 14 feet, give or take. Depending on what part of the town you're at. Mr. Stewart, I would like you to do when you go back to your board in Bronson. I would like you to tell them that you were here in Carson, you have two guys and other officials in the scope of the county and the county. I would really like you to go ahead and tell them what you heard. We have the base presentation to get out the power, we can get you that stuff. It would really be a good thing to do too. You might want to go ahead and either assign a commissioner or a staff person to come to the Board of Our Meetings. And that would be good to take me through the feasibility process, because it's going to be discussed. Every single part of this will be discussed at the Board of Our Board level. So it might be good for you to designate a staff person to come to that. And I really need that. I think it's very, very critical for both of these towns and the Levy County Board of Commissioners definitely be involved with WIWSA. The reason for that is they have that master plan. I want to pound this to you real good. And that thing is written in stone for regional supply and regional issues on the way for future will be done, particularly with water. And didn't that they have a plan that has been gone through the process over years and years and years and been adopted by five counties? It's paramount that you be involved. Marion County had opted out of the authority in the 90s. Marion County is a full-time member now with the Future Regional Water Supply Authority. Because water issues are one of them. It's not really a real great big issue right now, because the economy and building is down, but it's still out there. It's still out there. The thing is, to develop all of these ideas and plans and systems, it's too much money for anybody to do it alone. The other part of it is, it's too time consuming, and it will just eat up the resources of this whole, these towns and this county to try and do that. When there is another way to go to learn about what's out there, because what's out there is in your best interest to know about.
The economy of Seattle sometimes works very
well. One thing before I leave, that I think Commissioner D'Amato mentioned, that I want to leave you with. Some people have said, the economy's down, there's no real drive to expand right now.
Trust me, I talked to the other four directors. Now is the time to plan so that when this thing ticks back up again, you're going to be ready. Because if you wait too long, you're going to miss the boat. I don't mean to say that. It's kind of a joke, but you've got to, it takes so long to develop the infrastructure for these ports. By the time folks pan that shit start coming over here, using the MTM highway between Prattville, Texas, and Manistee, we're going to be out of the hunt. It's going to take years to catch up. So it's a little bit of, you're forging ahead without having a good economy. But now's the time to lay the groundwork for the future.
And I'll make sure that some people...
Thank you very much. Any other questions that we could answer?
How many people could be employed? Do you have an estimate of that?
Oh, I hate to say that, but some... If you go to Tampa Manatee, Everglades, it's a lot. It's amazing how many people are currently there. Just for Manatee, who doesn't have a lot of infrastructure, there's hundreds of employees. That doesn't include all the different services that go through, all the trucks, all the other things that are involved inside the infrastructure. It's pretty impressive. So I hate to say, I've got an idea, we have some people that are interested in that location.
We're in a very unique situation when we define the area of our force. That we have the biggest force. Fort Manatee was small compared to what we have here. A couple of boroughs they spent. God knows how much money put that together. We are in a unique situation because we have a linear value of a barge canal. And things that I have told you, and we're going to leave that article that was in the newspaper for you to look at. In addition to the port, there are many other things that could be put there. So if there's county boat ramps there, and later a marina comes there, and other facilities. That's where the jobs that will be created in addition to the port. So in reality, we're getting like double whammy here because there's so much there to develop that there'll be a public part of it, there'll be a private part of it. That's the economic engine that we want to get going. That could be good for all of us now. It's one thing to remember too, because I remember this from coming to the meetings up here at Progress Energy about the plants. People leave that Progress Energy plant, they don't all turn right and go into Citrus County. Really forcing those people to come over that bridge, and those people reside here in DB County. That's what you need to remember about that port and all the other things that might happen there, because those things would be good things for children to be employed, grandchildren to be employed, and tax base and value to Belt County. That's a good place to live. Those facilities are put in one separate place and have a great benefit for this whole area.
One other comment. Did you know there's never been a barge gone up the barge canal to the spillway? Because one half empty. Because it's not deep enough for
the private barge company. Our intent is, of course, to keep all the port activities other than recreational west of the barge
camp. I think I saw a hand come up back there. I have another question.
Sure.
Somebody raised their hand. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm just trying. since you brought up water matters and regional approach, we have had a problem that occurred here when the barge canal was dug. They managed to dig into the aquifer, and we're losing many, many tens, hundreds, thousands of gallons of water out of that. And there have been various groups that have been trying to get the attention of the water management districts and Corps of Engineers to remediate that problem. If you managed to put in your port, would there be any room to try and accomplish that while you're doing it so that we can cut off that loss of fresh water here, especially since you're going to be putting in a water plant there and sucking extra?
No, we're not sucking any water out. The water would come from Citrus County from a plant that didn't come from all the Black Wellfield, which is the center part of Citrus County, so really not. You're putting any wells, the whole idea is not put any wells out there. We want to take it from an existing facility that has, I think it's what, 4 million, 5 million gallons a day, and we're not using that. We're going to ask you probably 15 million. And that sits over in the center part of Citrus County, between the Citrus Hills there. That's a massive plant out there.
See, the one of the key things where you have to be involved in the Water Supply Authority is, the Water Supply Authority, the Wicatuchee Regional Water Supply Authority, the main asset of the authority is the Charles A. Black Wellfield, which sits in Citrus County.
And that's great, but back to the original question, was about the problem that exists in the barge canal. Is there going to be any room, any interest in trying to remediate that problem that's existed all these years?
It could come up with a feasibility study, it could be something that if you partner with us, that we could look at the feasibility study. It could be something that could look at SWIFT mode, the Water Authority, if you can order this to look at, we do it collectively.
Yes, because once you put the port in, that problem will never be addressed.
Correct.
So it's a big if, maybe.
Right, and that's the reason why we wanted to get with you folks early in the game, because, you know, we're just talking about feasibility studies. Those are items that could come up during the feasibility study, hence, you should have to see that too.
Commissioner Ely had another question, if you wouldn't mind.
I just want to brag a little, because we're very proud that y'all are here, because our little town is a crossroads, and we are the last one town in our county. And it seems to be we've been kind of just driven by for a long time. And some of us are veteran commissioners here that's been here a long time. And we do care about our town. And, you know, we want our town to be here and our people to be happy and jobs and things to go good. So this has been an important night in history that I can say that I've been around long enough to see this, and I thank you so much for this opportunity.
I feel the same way, because like I said, I'm not from here. But I've lived here for 40 years. I've had the pleasure of doing work in your town. I've had the pleasure of doing the work through my business in Yankeetown. I know a lot of you personally, some I don't know, but we felt that with what we're doing, now is the time to talk about the three things. The port, sewer and water opportunities, and please, 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 we need to get some of you folks to come down to the Water Supply Authority meeting as a guest. And if you have interest, you know, I can get Mr. Sullivan to come here whenever you want. Do that presentation right here. You don't have to go to him, but if you'll just come and see what it's about, see if there's any value that is good for both towns and the county, I'll bring him right here and he'll put that presentation right here where you will not have to travel. You'll be very, very pleased to know how well all of this has been thought out and how well it's all been planned out over a very long period of time and really how it affects you. And I worry about it as it affects you because I have a lot of people who are very near and dear to me right in your county. Commissioners and friends, people I've done business with. I've known Mr. Kelly, you probably know him since I had him. there's a lot of good people. We want to reach out to you. I really do appreciate your comments that we really want to do this. We want to reach out and all the rest. We feel we're in a great position to partner with you. We feel we're in a great position to help you because by doing it collectively, we'd be saving a lot of money. Commissioner, if you look at kind of scale, the other thing is we're a little bit further along in some of the processes that you towns are going together through. You can learn a lot from all of the things that we have done with land use issues and overlay districts and redevelopment issues, because we're a little bit further down the road. Why not go ahead and buy into that process? We're here to give you all of that expertise at no cost. Mm.
Dennis, I would like to ask, and I asked Dick if it's possible, to find out who your other people are. Who here? We have people here from the community college. We have people from the hospital. And then we also have Yankeetown mayor and their elected people and planning commission. Could everybody join in?
Can I do this for
yes.
you? Okay. Anyone who is here as an elected public official, please stand up. Or planning board member or appointed official or Mr. Waters here, my neighbor.
I think it's so awesome.
You have interest, you have a lot of interest, here.
Yeah.
And then we have people from Citrus County, please stand up. We have John Luton, he's with the Chamber of the EDC, Lindsay Bias, the PIO, Sheriff Channel 10 News down in Tampa, big accident to us. And Mr. Clark Stillwell is coming tonight, Mr. Hollins is here. My dear friend, George Frank Connor is here from Seven Rivers Hospital. Your name?
I'm Marilyn Ledger, and I'm an English resident, College of Central Florida. But I want to introduce Dave, who's the new executive director for the Nature Coast Business Development Council for Lee County.
We heard that.
You can see it is an exciting time for all of us.
Dennis, what is the, besides the four, what is the interest with the, that, Citrus County might have in running the sewer line down 19 to the river or across the bars now?
Basically, let's start at where it might come from. You know, we're Turkey up at 495. Mm-hmm. We've got a pretty big list of engineers underutilized. So it'll be very easy for us to run that force main. You might down Turkey up north of the Gulf and go right down Highway 19. But remember, south of that is the Crystal River city limit, so we can't cross territories with them, so we would head north. On that northern tip, on the sewer side, could be potential connections like Seven Rivers Hospital, possibly even Progress Energy, possibly even running it. You know, there's possibilities for people to hook up along Turkey Oak or Emerald Oaks. And then getting it up further up 19, you have the existing campground, which is on the other side of the river, between Barge Canal and the river. And then, of course, it would be a pipe there. And eventually, you know, the agreement the towns could get to. How it would be, I don't think it's going to be hung from the bridge. I don't think the engineering could do that. That would all have to be worked out at some time in the future, but the options and the opportunities to do that are there. Same way on the water side is the same way. As you know, the water in Northwest Citrus County, we've got documented arsenic problems through DEQ. We do have that. I think that's why it's real good on the water side too, is because we could, if DEP's got documented groundwater problems with arsenic, there's a potential source of funding to run that water line up here in addition to the other things that might happen. And the same with the economies of the scale that you have in both of these towns, and the fact that you probably were able to get another water permit, it's probably going to be a hedge of point, but on that side of 19, you're going to be pumping it this way anyway. There's just an awful lot of information that has to be looked at as opportunities and disseminated between all of the entities. I guess it's the best way I could describe it.
Who would we need to stay in contact with?
On the water and sewer side?
On the water and sewer
side. Perhaps Orff, who is the county administrator and also the director for the Port Authority, because we have our own utility which is run under him by the Board of County Commissioners, so that would be your contact person on the water and sewer side.
And do you also know that Caruth wants to think about something too?
Well, you know, I've been on the board for 7 years, and, you know, that property on the river, it's a well-known fact that property has been owned by the Caruth family for a very, very long time. There's always a potential out there that could be developed. I do know that on part of that, there was an agreement between the board and that development, particularly on the residential part of the river, that it more than likely would be served by sewer and water, so there's another potential connection.
Well, if there are no more questions, we thank you very much and appreciate very much your coming up. And I'll go ahead and take a 10-minute break. Yes. Good. Okay, let's get started again. We're under the regular agenda. First item is Planning Commission.
Dick Streeter. That was an impossible act to follow, so I'm not going to try. Our meeting's Tuesday night. We've got three public hearings, and the draft of the revised short-form and long and large-scale development processes. Bruce and I finished the draft today. Going to get it to George tomorrow to look at, make sure we didn't miss too much. And then, so that'll be a major piece of the agenda Tuesday night also. So, and that's my report.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Dick.
Rayback.
Rayback has a dance coming up on the 22nd. And we've already started working on the Christmas parade.
What is Rayback doing for the Christmas parade this year?
We're looking at getting some schools, floats, bands for the schools, floats. It's in the early planning stages. Last year we pulled it together in 10 days, so I think we probably will do a little bit better this year. So,
you haven't set any kind of dates yet? Have you looked at what dates did you think?
I don't have the date right off the top of my head, Mayor, but that date was set in January for that parade. Because we have the Christmas party and the parade at the same day. The party for the children follows the parade. So.
Any other questions? Keep moving on.
I can get you that date in the morning.
Next item is public comments. Oh yeah, well we'd
Michael White. I read in the newspaper, the Chronicle, when the budget was printed, that Citrus County's budget was 2.9. Both of them were in the same newspaper. And my mom actually brought this to my attention. Citrus County said they were 2.94 below what was last year's. Inglis said 23% above what it was last year's. Was that a misprint or was that?
No, if you go back and read it, it says that the expenditures are 23% more than last year's, and that is simply because the commission is using the reserves to fund some projects and the road work. All of that is considered expenses once you move it out of reserve. So,
because I thought we took some of the 50 grand from the sewer stuff and moved it.
No, the only monies that were taken from water to balance our budget was 23,000, I think. 23, somewhere in that area. The rest of it came out of the reserves.
So we are actually 23% more this year.
More cost.
More expenditures due to the capital outlay projects that they're doing.
Okay. And that, because nobody's got raises or anything, and when I seen that, I'm like, you know, that seemed kind of off. So that's what I
Good. Okay, any workshops or special meetings? Calling for any work?
Can we kind of,
yes.
We're kind of in a pickle right now because our fire chief is already going to work. But David, would you come up here 1 second and let me, you know, if you'll introduce yourself and, or maybe just, are you talking about scheduling one? Let's see if we want to schedule one. When
okay.
He comes up here.
Sure.
Remember in the past we've talked about the three fire departments joining together? Well, we've met. David is the new... David, why don't you introduce yourself with your title?
County Commission. My name is David Mills. I'm the Public Safety Director for Levy County. I oversee EMS operations and fire operations throughout 1,100 square miles of Levy County.
What was your last name again?
Mills. K-N-O-W-L-S.
Okay.
And so this is... You want to give them a little touch of what y'all have presented to us and Cleary and Bill?
We're
going
to let you kind of
okay.
Set the pace on where we're going.
I'm Cleary, but I'm like Captain Fire. What it is, Levy County is wanting South Levy and Yankee County and us to merge. They want to try to get possibly done this year if it's possible. So we've had 3 or 4 meetings at the fire department. Talking about the merge. So as give me a second, a little nervous. So what we're trying to do is get Yankeetown and our commission together to talk about the merger. So have y'all, have you had, has Sally mentioned anything to you about what we're trying to do? Merging?
I think the only thing we heard was that you had been meeting with the county and that it didn't look like it was going to happen this year, but that you were going to shoot for maybe next year. That's about the only thing I recall of what we've heard.
Well, they're pushing it.
Basically, what we're just looking at is what supports the community. We're here to service the community in the best way possible. And that's our overall goal. It's not for taking anybody over, taking anybody's area. It's being able to service what's best for me. If we can come in and help you with that, that's what we're here for. We're not looking to take over any organizational structure, by no means. We're here to see what we can do together, work together, to make a great response system throughout the county. So that means pulling our organizations down here together, to work as one organizational structure, and that's going to benefit all of us together. That's what we're looking at. In concept, that's what we're talking about. It's nothing, we're not coming down here demanding anything at all. So that's not the challenge. That's not the concept at all. It's just, what can we do to work together to make this a great response structure for EMS and fire rescue down in this area without keeping it segregated throughout the county?
Good, Sally.
Okay, well, basically, during the budget workshop, so, we were made aware of this, and we were waiting for information, and we have to work off what the county says that they are going to fund us, and that has to go into our budget process. So by the end of our budget process, there had not been any more talk as far as going forward with that, and what we were told was that it was something that if it happened, it probably would not happen in this year, and the county did not change their budget amount to us, so we had to go on the what was fact. It was that the county was sending us a certain amount of money to run our fire department on, so in order for us to be able to complete our budget.
And in all fairness to the fire chief, I mean, this was not expected tonight.
Right, okay.
In all fairness to the fire chief, I don't want to misconstrue anything. I just happened to hear this right. Port Citrus information, because that affects us in other ways as well. But, we're here to help in any way we can. And that's, as a county, we're here to help facilitate whatever we can. We're not looking to, come in, but if that's something we can all do together, to work together to make a great service on it, we'd help facilitate that in whatever way we could to work together.
And also, there was two other points. This fire department here, that which might be the local one, was made with a grant.
Yes.
Okay, so that's important. We own it, but we don't own it. And we have to keep it up always. And also, they said if the three of you got together, you get less funding than each entity would get.
That would not actually happen until we sat down and actually looked at everything to see any funding cuts.
Okay, but these were the things that were told to us, so that's why we're saying to you, I'm saying that I remembered it being said, and it was kind of scary, okay?
Oh, yes, because that fragments our system. That actually decreases our system instead of bringing it up where we want to be. So that would be work the wrong way. But my suggestion would be to everybody sit down and see, this is something you're even looking at. That you would even be wanting to talk about if you want to talk about it. We can entertain and discuss it more. If it's something that the board really has no interest in, then we'd be pushing, talking in the wrong direction.
I myself right now am open, but I've heard things like you just made a statement a short while ago that it wasn't something you were going to... I got the impression you were saying you weren't going to force it on us. And I've heard direct opposite to that, that this is going to happen whether we like it or not. It's a done deal already. It's just a matter of when you're going to do it to us.
No.
That's not going to happen.
No, we're not shutting anything down.
Okay, because I've heard direct opposite to that.
We're here to work together.
I've heard direct opposite to that, completely direct opposite.
Okay. Yes,
that this was going to be a done deal. It's already been decided, and, it's going to happen whether the departments like it and whether we like it.
This is your city. This is your fire department. The county cannot come in and take over your fire department. This is your fire department. We can't, as a county organization, we can't come in and take over your fire department. So I'm sorry.
Well, I'm glad you've come down and talked to us.
Yes.
Because this is what I've heard. I don't know about the other commissioners, but this is what we're going to make.
That's a bad taste in my mouth. That's a very bad taste.
It's left a very bad taste in my mouth.
I can understand why. No, that's not the intention at all. We have to work together. If it doesn't work together, it defeats the purpose.
Commissioner Ely?
And I had another question too, because it was discussed that paramedics and EMS trucks would need to be kept here and have a place here, because you have it right now at Lebanon Station. Is that the closest?
No, ma'am.
Where's the closest?
Right here, behind the old FHD station. There's a 24-hour station right behind the old FHD.
Oh, I thought that was longer than, farther than that.
It's the one right up here, right behind the old FHD station.
How much?
Just over 3 miles north of town, and for a station.
Oh, okay, I thought it was like 9. Okay, I was mistaken then.
But anyway, this is what's been going on. We have meetings, and this is why I'm glad he's here, but we need to get this out there to you guys and let you know what's going on. Because Sally's been out of town, and we've been having these meetings, and she's our fire commissioner, and she's supposed to communicate to you guys what we're talking about and what's happening in the county as far as fire departments. And of course, she's been out of town for 7 months.
Right. This is what the last meeting that we had is as far as we had gotten in a town meeting. It's been a month. But what the guys really are kind of are questioning is, do we want to get Lamar Stiegel, who is the Williston fire chief, and do y'all want to get all of us together and let them have a little presentation and talk about the pros and cons that they have discussed in these meetings? But see, what they asked tonight, we need to get with Yankee Town and decide, do we want to do this or do we not? But we need to see first alone. So that's my question. Do y'all want to have a special meeting? And
well, what's this with Williston? I don't follow. I thought
the Williston fire chief is the head of the advisory board of the fire for the county. So he has been with David and overseen these meetings of the three fire chiefs. And
should come in is just something to facilitate that information, what's happened in the past, where the past has gone, where, you know, where we are currently, where we have been in the past, where we are currently. Some of that information I was referring to before my arrival, so it helped me gain the knowledge of what has happened in the past, because for one, we don't want to reinvent the wheel, we want to positively go forward. And that would be like Mrs. Price has said, you know, basically the board needs to decide, is this something they might want to go through with in a consensus, or is it something that the board really has no interest in and want to remain what it is now? Because I would hate for us to go on, I mean, further speaking with your other neighboring towns or communities and see, you know, if it's something you're even interested in discussing.
And you're saying that if the town doesn't want to, or Yankee Town doesn't want to, that there will be no joining of the fire departments, or what is it your?
Is that your discretion? That's at your board's discretion if you want to work together with other departments. That's at your board's discretion.
Whose idea was it to start this in the first place?
The three organizations down here.
Well, no, it's Yankee County.
I thought it was the county itself.
County wants everybody to work together. Work together, because we can do so much more together.
Well, where are you with the talks with the other agencies, or with the county and?
Well, we waiting on Yankee here from Yankee Town, their commissioner, and you guys see if we can get the two of you together and say have them guys to come down and go from there and see what how y'all feel too. Of course, South Levy, their representative will be here also. They don't have a commissioner, but they have Roger Kaufman's fire chief up there and be here. And that's where we're at right now. We're waiting to do that.
To get everybody together.
To get everybody together and talk about it and see where we're at.
The pros and cons, what could happen, what couldn't happen, how it could all work. You know, the management structure, how the management structure would work, what would happen, the organizational operational structure. Of how it works, because that's open-ended questions for you all, and who knows? And that's answers that you need before you can make a decision anyway.
But we haven't heard back from Paul how the Yankee Town Council feels.
Well, that's why we got to get...
So we're going to initiate something.
Well, at least at your board, you know, to think about it, that would be something for your board to think about. Is this something you would like to pursue? If you pursue it about the Yankee Town and they don't want to, then it's a drop. It's dropped there. Because obviously you can't move against kind of thing to work with you, mm-hmm. and, you know, in that respect. It's something, you know, you'd want to pursue or think about pursuing either way.
So that's where we're at.
My question is, because the county commission is the one that approves the budgets for each, you know, municipality, they would have to more or less be willing to revisit the funding that comes.
If they finalize the funding, I never heard that they have finalized anything.
Mm-hmm. Did their budget pass?
Yes, ma'am. The budget has been.
So our funding stayed the same as last year.
Oh, okay.
Yes. I think there's a little bit of difference, but not much.
Well, yeah. I'm going to jump ahead, but what would happen if they all come as one department, then that all that money is going to come to one department. That's how that would go in the big picture. So that's something we can talk, y'all can talk about.
It's very complex.
Mm-hmm.
Who will own the equipment and the different towns on it?
Just give you some background.
Who will do the paying of the?
There's a ton.
If I can give you some background, and this is just background of how another department, maybe county, had done this. Morrison Montbrook had done this. They were on their own, independent on their own, and they said, Levy County, we need your help. We need you to oversee our organization. They had now come under the auspices of Levy County, the Morrison Montbrook area. So that is actually Levy County Fire Rescue called Morrison Montbrook area now. And basically what happened was just, you know, working through the processes of how we're going to do it, who's going to be responsible for what. Instead of each department having to go out and get their own vehicle insurance, now it's coming under one organizational structure. Payment is under one organizational structure. Vehicle repairs is under one organizational structure. Training is now one organizational structure. So that's how Morrison Montbrook had done it, coming under the county auspices. So basically, it's just sitting down and identifying, you know, what are we going to do with this? Here's the negotiations here we need to look at. Next option, what are we going to do with this? You know, the trucks. What are we going to do with the trucks? They're all owned by each individual. We just lease them back. That way, whoever's responsible for the organizational structure is responsible for vehicle repairs, and all goes through whichever is the key holder of the organizational structure, whether it's the county or city of Inglis or city of Gantt or South Bay, whoever is the person control, the organization managing this department per se.
Well, if y'all want to have another meeting this week and get Paul there and see if Yankee Town is interested, if they're not,
forget it.
Yes, there wouldn't be any need in us even doing that.
So, okay, so I can follow up on that. Skin's not here, so I can follow up with Paul. And
you get Roger involved?
Yeah. Right.
I mean, you're talking about all three.
See, Roger is already county.
Well, in other words, he's a part of...
South is an independent fire district, independent fire department. We fund them solely. They don't receive any other municipal tax service funding. They're funded solely by the county.
There would be a station left at both places. Yankee Town would have a station.
A substation.
And Roger would have a substation.
These would be all stations just as they're sitting now. It would still be, you know, people would still be responsible for their own stations. It's just the organizational structure and the oversight management would be considered by one organization at that point in time.
Do you sort of understand about that? Structure would be just one?
That's a lot of responsibility for one town to, or one entity, a lot.
Mm-hmm. Or, you know, like you're talking with some other organizations, that can come under the county. The county has all those resources to manage it.
But anyway, that's where we're at.
Didn't even call them in back there.
Oh, go ahead. Okay. I thought you were on the floor.
He was first, that blues and blues.
Michael White. The county is taking enough from Florida Power. That man right there is going to be the first responder This man right here is going to be the first responder for the power plant. We, as Inglis, are closer to the Ford, to there, than anybody. Somebody needs to step up and go to the power plant people and tell them, look, this is what's happening. Not maybe this is what's happening. Because they can't come in and change the infrastructure of Inglis, and then the county just, the county's 45 minutes away. They can't. If some call comes in, Mr. Dixon or Tim Swiggett or one of them is the ones with their life on the line up there. Just like the forest fires we just went through. These guys are up there not getting paid.
That's already in the works.
Well, I can understand that, but Inglis needs to stand up and become a town or not. We need to, one way or another.
That's in the works. That's in the works. The mayor met with the PR person from Progress Energy.
Why would we even be talking? It should be Inglis' fire department helping Yankee Town, helping Roger Crossman, because the power plant's going to be 5 miles from here, not at the county. The county comes down here, doesn't have enough money for their dispatch radios and tell us we got to pay $40,000, then it's another 17, oh, ends up 12 or whatever. It's getting ridiculous.
But the funding comes from the county to our fire department to run that department.
I understand that, but it doesn't, if Inglis is going to have the trucks and going to have all the infrastructure and going to have gotten the grants for the stuff because of the Inglis taxpayers, the county gives $50,000+, correct? Mm-hmm. They're changing the count. The power plant is changing EMS, police department, and the fire department in the municipality of Inglis. Mm-hmm. So the power plant needs to straighten it up. Like Mr. D'Amato was here, you need to ask him, what did Crystal River do? Mm-hmm. What did they do right? What did they do wrong? And that's the model you go by.
Well, so it's me, like, you need to get your groups together to find out what's going on and make some suggestions, I guess.
We have one more comment by one of our firemen.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm Charlie Vines. I'm just a firefighter with the department. I've been up to a couple of fire board meetings with the chief and with Cleve, and I've been to one of the county commissioner meetings by myself. And just what I read in the newspapers, as Chief Knowles here, he's brand spanking new. And like Commissioner Brennan, I got the impression from months ago from the county commissioners that showed up at the fire board meeting that this is an attempt for them to get a handle on what they consider to be budget excesses. You know, they're trying to do things in this day and age to account for the way the money's spent, and some of the smaller departments, it just wasn't panning out how much money they were getting to the number of calls that they were receiving. And my impression is this is an attempt by the county to get a handle on that. Rightly or wrongly, that's above my pay grade. And this is before Chief Knowles here. This impetus for this consolidation was not from the three departments. It came from the county. And at this last fire board meeting that I attended with Captain Boatwright here, they also got a mandate from the county, Levy County Commission. They wanted the fire board to define its role in the future, whether they want to for them to have more authority. And they're wanting the different chiefs to submit their ideas and what they want how they want the fire response, emergency response in Levy County to develop in the future, and what exactly role they want the Levy County Fire Board to take, whether it's to be more of, instead of an advisory board, to be a direct administrative board. So these are things that you folks need to be aware of. I'm sorry the chief isn't here, and was unable to attend the last meeting, and I don't mean to undercut him. And I want to stress again, these are my own opinions. But I've had a little bit of experience in government, and my concern and my impression, like Commissioner Brennan says, was that
you know, this train's on the track, and you either get on board the train or you get run over. Mm-hmm. That was the impression that I got months ago, and before State Chief Knowles came on board here. Now, whether that I'm mistaken, I very rightly could be, but this is the impression I got. And it's not so much it's directed that they're not thinking that we're doing a good job or that we're misspending the money, but some of the other, you know, smaller departments in the, they tried to, I forget which department up on the coast up here, smaller department, they tried to just bob, disable them, you know, and take them completely, because there's certain standards that you have to adhere to in order to be a certified fire, you know, emergency response agency. So this is something you folks need to definitely be aware of, and you know, maybe one or two of you or whatever need to attend some of these fire board meetings to make so you can make your own estimation and get your own read on the situation right here, because rightly or wrongly, my impression is, even though, you know, we're combined, you know, we all combine, the practical result of that is, I think the South Levy County fire response, whether it's centered in Yankee Town or whether it's centered in Inglis or South Levy, is going to be winding up with less money to operate than what the three departments are operating mm-hmm. now. And so Chief Knowles was very refreshing. He came on board this first meeting that he spoke, and he is definitely a breath of fresh air, you know, extending his offices, you know, for, you know, telling us that we can approach his agency to help buy things and replace equipment, the grants that they're preparing, these economies of scale would definitely enhance our effectiveness as a town emergency response agency. But I definitely think that the city commission needs to get a little bit more involved.
Well, I'd suggest, Sally, that maybe you get some of these other people together to find out whether or not they even have an interest in combining.
Every time we
certainly can't give you any decision tonight on much anything. It's all like mass confusion.
That's what you brought this up on the workshop, so that's what I was going to ask you. Did you? But in my opinion, unless Yankee Town goes for it, there's no sense in having a workshop.
Right, I think you need to get a reading and talk to Roger and find out what's going on.
Well, the last just time we met, they had still. Roger is apprehensive about it, but he's going to be sunk if we don't do it because of the standing of his opinion.
Well, why not, you know, rather than yes. going tonight,
yes.
How about getting together with the people and come back with... Okay. At least a feel for what the problem is.
And just, you know, at the point of clarification, I was just here as a bunch of agents at Port Citrus, so I was not privy to, you know, to information prior, and I feel really bad that the fire chief was not here for this discussion. He should have definitely been here for this discussion, so he was pointing to make sure that point is driven home, that, you know, this is important. The fire chief has 100%, 110% involvement in this, because
he's the key
holder to this organizational structure. So just to make sure, man, we'll be more than happy to answer any questions in the future if you need.
Yeah, the biggest thing, we just want to get it out there. And then you start getting aware of what's happening. So, Sally, do you want me to get a call in to see what's going on that part of the town down there?
I don't mind if the six of us get together for a meeting Thursday, if we can pull off one in the afternoon or Wednesday or Friday or... Or we can just talk. I can talk to Paul separately, because if they're not for it, we're wasting our time to even talk about it. Okay, I'll check with Paul.
Before you leave again?
Mm-hmm, sure.
Okay.
Yes.
That's what we're at.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
One comment about that. Paul wouldn't be totally in control of it, because he's under the mayor and that commission there. So... Not having all of those together at one time wouldn't be a good thing either, because it's like one of us, we're one of five. Five together, we're a commission. One of us can't speak out of turn, so what he really wants is irrelevant right now if that mayor and the commission doesn't have a part in it too, right?
Well, that's what we're doing. We're trying to get you guys together and talk about this. Not just like, say, Paul and getting his opinion that No, we don't want it, or yes, we want it.
Yeah.
What Sally, I guess we're going to do is try to get Paul to find out.
Has his commission met on it?
Has his commission.
And are they going to be interested in it?
It might be good to develop some kind of a letter and send it to all three fire districts or municipalities or Yankeetown and see, just to, you know, kind of get a reply from them that they are interested somewhat.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Get it in writing before you do it.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, they have a commission, a council person down there.
This is,
and Tommy has actually taken secretary.
His name Tommy?
Yes.
He had been coming to the meetings. Yeah, Tommy, he's been coming to the meeting.
Right.
And I guess he's the one that's supposed to be communicating with his committee.
Right, and that's...
But I don't know if he has them. That's the whole thing. We don't know if he has or not.
I didn't get a set of the last minutes where before
why
actually met.
Anyway. Let's break it off. Why don't you go ahead and make your, you know, the calls and try to find out if anybody's interested.
Okay.
Sally, you're next.
I have a letter that was given to me to read into the record from Pauletta Wines. It says, greetings. I would like the town of Inglis to know what a great job Danny Dayton is doing. Twice we have contacted him in reference to areas that needed his attention. Immediately the situation was taken care of, and we hated to see Tom Brennan retire, but we felt that he made a wise decision in recommending Danny as his replacement. Sincerely, Pauletta Rhymes. It's nice to get something like that. Yes.
There you go, Dan.
Danny's doing a good
job. Way to go.
The only other thing that I have is we recently, Fisher, Brennan, and I met with the representative from Capital City Bank, and we now have online viewing rights for our accounts with Capital City. He came over and filled out all the paperwork, and we're online. We can access that. Contacted Perkins to do the same thing. It's viewing only. I can print off the statements and be able to receive get the statements on the first of the month and not have to wait till the 7th or 8th whenever they get through the mail so I can access them. But Perkins needs basically minutes that reflect that the commission is giving approval for us to have online viewing rights, and the only person that can access them would be myself. And it's basically just to be able to pull up the statements on the first of the month, print them out, so that we can start working on them and not have to wait till they come through the through the mail.
Is this something that you wish to have, or that you think would be a help to you?
Well, certainly. I mean, it's just it would be good to have it. To be able to access them a little earlier doesn't mean that necessarily it would change our process or anything. It's just that the fact that we can access them online.
Yeah.
At any time.
Tom, is that something?
Well, yeah, after the presentation.
Something you're aware of or have
a
feeling about?
We talked about it, and she informed me about Perkins, and, you know, you know, it's fine. It's fine with me. It's fine. It gives her an earlier access to her information.
This is Capital City.
No, this is Parker. We already have it with Capital City.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's the day and age. I mean, you know, almost everybody has online banking now or online.
And I can speak from experience. I do it where I work all the time.
Well, most people have it with their own personal account. Mm-hmm. You know, so.
Yeah. Well, I'll make a motion for that, Sally, that we give Perkins a letter stating that we approved you to have access to the online.
They just have to have an excerpt from that.
Here we have a motion. We have a second.
I'll second that motion.
Any discussion? Anything further? All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried.
Okay, who did the second?
I did.
Sally,
that's for me.
You're all set. Mm-hmm. Okay, Mayor, anything? Words of wisdom?
Not really. Now that Dr. Overfirst is here, I think we can get back on on our planning for doing the road work that we wanted to do. We had to hold off on that for a little bit, but now I think we can get started back on that. Other than that, just a few new business, a couple new businesses that we had come in town, like I mentioned last month, so, you know, they all seem to be doing well. I've talked to both of them, and the business as well. That's about it, I guess.
One other thing, Commissioner Kelman, and he reminded me of that. Commissioner Brennan and I talked about it today, and I talked with Robert Beach and our auditor. During the budget process, the monies that the commission has allotted to Road and Bridge was $180,000 that has come out of general fund reserves. Basically, our reserves are our money market and our CDs. So in order to transfer that money from the general fund to Road and Bridge, we'll have to do one of two things. We could basically not renew one of our CDs and have those monies put into the money market so that we could write a check for that amount and put it into the Road and Bridge basically anytime before, I think it matures like on the 22nd of the month. We have that option, and Mr. Beecham is fine with that. Or we can try to more or less piecemeal, you know, a certain amount just out of the money market, depending on how much you need at one time. Because if you're not going to do it all at one time, then, you know, we could move $50,000 this month and next month move another, you know, depending on how we're going to do that and not touch our CDs. So it's really kind of depends on how much and how many roads you're going to try to do at one time. But I just wanted to make you aware of it, that we will have to, if we move it all at one time, we will have to probably cash in one of the CDs that we have. So.
Yeah. Do you think just the one that's due the 22nd would be the one that you'd be cashing in?
Probably, yes. And what we'll do is just transfer those funds right into the money market for that purpose. It would not be enough for the whole 180, I think it's around 108,000, something like that. But that would be a good starting point. And then we could move the remainder of that as revenues come in. You know, basically at the end of September, we had like $350,000 in the money market. But until the revenues start coming in, we will be actively using that money, using those funds to run the town until we start seeing some of our revenues come in. So if it's, say, 2 months from now, before we started using the funds, then we might have a possibility of having those funds readily available just to turn around and write a check. But if we miss the date on cashing in the CD, and then we later have to go back, we'd probably be penalized for it. So, you know,
Well, that's what we've got the funds for. And this is what we promised the people. So I think we need to take that portion and get it into the one CD.
Yeah, I'd kind of recommend that we, you know, cash in the one.
Okay.
And to have the funds so that we're not into the money market.
Okay.
If, you know, sometime later on we find that the revenues have come in, you know, because last year we did not get the revenues that we were expecting. But if we find the revenues are coming in, we always can buy another CD.
That's true.
You know.
Yeah. And Mr. Beecham also said if you check your money market rates, some of the money markets are paying as much as the CDs are now.
Right.
The only thing is once you move it out of a CD into a checking account, then you know it's accessible.
Are we still? We're still looking for a piece of equipment, aren't
right.
we?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In fact, the auction is Friday. I haven't called over to see what was over there yet. But we'll check into that one, and then of course the Tampa auction is Saturday, and I know there is a couple different pieces there, so it's very possible that we may end up with something, you know, butt in.
Tom, do you have anything?
Yeah, I think I'd like to make a motion that we approve Sally to move the, to cash in that CD that is due on the 22nd.
And transfer to.
And transfer it to the money market account.
Have a motion, do we have a second?
I'll second that motion.
Any further discussion? All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye, opposed, motion carried.
And don't quote me on the exact amount, but I think it's somewhere around $108,000 plus.
Okay. You already.
The only other thing that I will tell the commission is we do have the wireless antennas up. We have a signal currently from the Yankeetown School to Beasley's to Young Boats. We still have some tweaking to do on the antenna, and I hope to get a little bit better coverage. And I spoke to Marcia Drew tonight, and we may get some help out of Levy County with some repeaters. So I'm working on getting the repeaters that we need for the east side of Inglis.
Okay.
Can you elaborate on that for a person who is not kosher? What did you just say?
We have wireless internet access from the Yankeetown School to Beasley's Tires up to Young Boats. Wireless
free
internet access.
Free
internet access. I will tell you that this is not for streaming video. It's not for streaming music. It is simply to allow the students, primarily from the Yankeetown School, that don't have internet access to have the ability wirelessly to get on the internet to do their homework, and for people to get their emails, for the businesses in town to be able to say, if they have a customer at Gobbler's, for an example, that needs internet access while they're eating their lunch, it's there for them.
So you make like a triangle when it's the area in that triangle, is that what you mean?
Well, that's the coverage area that we have on the antennas currently. And what we're looking at finding a way to fund are the repeaters that we need for the east side of Inglis, so that eventually the whole area will have wireless internet access.
Commissioner Healy, you have anything?
Well, mainly I have a small comment I'd like to make to the mayor, if he doesn't mind. When you're still going to get equipment or do things, try to drop me a note in my box so I know what you're doing, okay? Please. Because I usually know after it's done, but I don't know what you're doing. So are you looking for a water truck or anything like that? What are you looking for?
Yeah, when we're looking for a water truck, and I'm looking for a roller still.
Okay.
The roller is the main thing. The water truck, you know, we have some suggestions that we may possibly be able to do if we don't buy one of them, but depending on what we have to pay and what we can find, I mean, if we could acquire the two, then that's what we'd like to do. But if not, we'll make do with something.
Okay, and these funds are going to come off of what line item?
It's coming out of town reserves.
Okay.
That's part of the $180,000 that is being transferred.
Capital improvements.
Capital improvements. Road and bridge.
Okay. All right. I just want to make sure.
Commissioner Price, do you have any?
No.
The only thing I can report is we hope to start spending a little bit of money out of the water plant on four different projects. We're going to get started on one or at least one of them very, very quickly. And we've also going to be meeting with a fellow on security tomorrow morning, get his ideas on how to secure the plant. That's all I have.
Tom? Yeah. I just want to say my comments about the budget. I want to thank you all. I think we had a very good budget year. It went rather quickly, I believe, with a few meetings, and I'm happy with the outcome of the budgets, other than we weren't, you know, we didn't see that we could give raises. That's the only thing, but maybe we can strive to do that next year to make up, to, you know, what we've lost. But thank you for your help.
I have one other thing real quick. I believe it's the 26th of this month. I will be attending the North Florida Economic Development Partnership meeting again.
So. Very good. Someone's going to make a motion to adjourn.
I make a motion, we adjourn.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Meeting adjourned.
Now, did you tell us about the,